But I think if we follow the pattern that you have already in your invitations, we can at least concentrate on these chapters in Exodus. We won't have time to relate the tabernacle to the temple or its New Testament. For example, the tabernacle of God is with men. Revelation 21, we shan't be getting that far, but let us study the tabernacle as it is presented to us in the books of Moses. And what I would like to do, first of all, is just to read the part of chapter 25. The last verse of chapter 24, and the opening verses down to verse 10, verse 9 of chapter 25, to show what it was that God had in mind when he spoke to Moses. So Exodus 24, the last verse, verse 18. Then Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart he shall take up my offering. And this is the offering which he shall take of them, gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. God's purpose. God would dwell among his people. This was not possible in Egypt. We have a redeemed people. Exodus is the book of redemption. God could not dwell among his people in Egypt. They had to be brought out of Egypt. They were redeemed by the blood of the Paschal Lamb. They were delivered by the power of God in the parting of the Red Sea. Now they're in the wilderness. They're on the way to Canaan. A redeemed people, a people separated from the things of the world in Egypt. And here they are in the desert. Call it a desert, call it a wilderness, it's the same place. And they're on their way to Canaan. Now God can dwell among them. This dwelling has to be mobile. There are traveling people. It's not possible yet for there to be a temple or a fixed building on earth. It must move with them. God will instruct them as to how that is to be done. you will see in the furniture that we're going to consider in these lectures that everything was portable. Even the Ark of the Tabernacle, it had shafts that it could be carried and that it could be handled by the priests. Everything was movable. It is a house. A house speaks of dwelling. A temple speaks of display. We're not yet to the temple. We're in the house. And the house speaks of a dwelling place where God can be among his people. This wasn't possible before. It's foreshadowed. The first reference to the house of God is in Genesis, Jacob. Jacob in Bethel, chapter 28, verse 7. But that was not possible for there to be a dwelling place there with Jacob at that time. Jacob was not fit for it. He said, "How dreadful is this place?" He was later brought there, later in his career. But the first time that we have God dwelling among his people as a whole, Israel, is here in this book. Here's a diagram of the temple. You see that it's broadly divided into three. There is an outer court, there is a holy place, and there is the most holy place. Now, we're going to be looking at the Ark and the Mercy Seat. The Ark and the Mercy Seat is the only item within the most holy place. It speaks of the presence of God. The Ark speaks of the presence of God. There is only one item in that most holy place, and it is the Ark with the mercy seat above it, speaking of those as one item. There's also the come to it in a minute, the question of the incense altar, the altar of gold, the golden incense altar. In Hebrews 9:24, I think it is, it says of the most holy place which had the golden censer. I believe that that is the golden altar. I believe that that is the incense altar, which really belonged in the most holy place. But it was just the other side of the dividing curtain between the most holy place and the holy place, because the priests needed to have access to it to offer that incense daily. We come to the Ark and the Mercy Seat. Now, it says, verse 10, "They shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length, and 1.5 cubits the breadth, and 1.5 cubits the height. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold round about." You see, the ark, the acacia wood, the ark is made of the acacia wood, and it is covered in gold. If you look at it, all you will see is the gold. What a picture of the Lord Jesus. The gold speaks of God, of his holiness, of his glory, the acacia wood speaks of humanity, but perfect humanity. Acacia wood is a very durable, hard-wearing, tough wood. It grows, I'm having difficulty in see where I am on the slides, so I'm talking and I'm not really talking to the slides. Gold characterizes what is of God, his righteousness, his perfections. It's much used in the tabernacle or the holy city. The shittim or acacia wood is a tree of the desert wadis of Sinai, similar to the Australian mimosa. And it's a hardy species and it's resistant to disease and attack by pests. It speaks of the incorruptibility of Christ. It won't. When we look at the tabernacle, we're looking at it with the benefit of the New Testament scriptures, which help us to see what God had in mind when he showed Moses this pattern in the holy mountain. The pattern is entirely heavenly. The Epistle to the Hebrews is a great help, and it's a necessary study for believers, both from Jew and Gentile backgrounds, even now. Not that we are. The tabernacle helps us to understand what is brought out in the Epistle to the Hebrews, not the other way around. Okay. But the point of the tabernacle is that the pattern was entirely heavenly. It was given to Moses by God himself in the Holy Mount. And from that Holy Mount, Moses brought down these detailed instructions. And in chapter 31 onwards in Exodus, you'll see how they built this tabernacle exactly to the commandments that Moses had received, exactly to those commandments. And it's a heavenly pattern. And in Hebrews chapter 9, you will read about the pattern of things in the heavens. So what we're looking at is something after a heavenly pattern, patterned on the heavens above, brought down to earth that God might meet with his people Israel in suitable conditions. The ark had rings and staves so that it could accompany the people across the wilderness. Go back. Sorry, we have to go back. Go back. Is that the minus? Does that take us back?
Is that the minus?
That one.
No, it's not touch screen. It's going to use the keypad.
Right. Thank you. Verse 16, the testimony was to be put inside the ark. What was in the ark? Three things. The law. You might think of Christ, the law, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verse 8. The law was placed inside the tabernacle itself. And the manna, a golden pot. It was food for the journey, but also it prefigures the living bread, Christ himself, according to John chapter 6. And Aaron's rod that budded. Read about that in Numbers 17, the first tree to bud after the winter, speaking of new life in resurrection. And over the tabernacle, over the ark, was placed the mercy seat. It appeared integral with it. That picture that showed briefly, the whole item looks like one, the mercy seat It was exactly the same length and breadth as the ark it fitted over, and it was a covering. It was all gold, no acacia wood. Mercy is all of God, all of God, all of gold. And the ark's contents, including the law, could not be seen because they were covered by the mercy seat. And as we know, upon that mercy seat, once a year, Leviticus 16, the high priest would place the blood once a year, the Day of Atonement. Upon that mercy seat, the blood would be placed. And that is why God says in this chapter 25, there I will meet with you. What does mercy seat mean? It's where the blood is to be placed, Leviticus 16:14. And the law was covered by it. So let's come to what it prefigures. In the New Testament, Romans 3:24-25, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat. In the authorized version, it says a propitiation. Propitiation, Greek word translated a mercy seat. God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood for the showing forth of his righteousness in respect of the passing by of sins that had taken place before. Every sin before or after is covered by the blood of Christ for those who believe. The work of Jesus Christ now is complete, and the mercy seat foreshadows it. At the ends of the mercy seat and looking down into it or onto it were two cherubim, their wings covering it, their faces looking inward and down. They would see the blood placed there. What a cherubim. They represent God's power in creation and in judicial government. So they are looking down and they will see that blood. Figuratively, they will see that blood when it is placed there. And it engages their attention. Because they are God's judicial government, it will have a double effect. They will see that blood, and it will speak to them as it speaks to us, for something that angels, cherubs do not share in, but we can. Peter 1:12 records that the angels desire to look into this wonder of redemption. The gospel is not for them, but they have an interest in it because it comes from God. And so it is here with the blood. Finally, this is a meeting place. God says, there I will meet with thee. And I will speak with thee from above the mercy seat. Two thoughts there. One, God meeting with his people. The other, speaking to them. This, of course, prefigures what we enjoy now in assembly conditions. But here it is prefiguring with Israel. And it is a divine principle that the conditions must be absolutely right if there is to be an effective meeting place with God. I know that we now have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus through that new and living way that he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We do have boldness. The conditions must be right. Holiness becometh thy house, O God, forever. Psalm 93, verse 5. And I will speak with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony. Everything that I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. This is a place of meeting for God with Moses. When in this chapter, when God says you, he's speaking to Moses, but it's Moses on behalf of all the people. We get the same expression, there I will meet with thee in relation to the brazen altar, which, God willing, we'll be looking at later. Psalm 30, verse 6. And above the mercy seat, and above the testimony, grace and righteousness, grace figured by the mercy seat, the testimony figuring God's righteousness, and there is fullness of blessing with a view to communion. Well, one final point, as we go through the tabernacle, there some items that we'll be considering have as their primary purpose the display of God's glory. Others are to do with man's approach. For example, the altars. God's house provides for both. It displays his glory, but it gives means for man to approach. Now, these features here, of course, we can follow in the New Testament. We're not going to get to the New Testament today, but were we to take up the house of God in the New Testament, we would find these features repeated there. That is, this is the value of studying the tabernacle. And there is a provision for redeemed men and women to approach. Now the time, I think, is just gone. Let me just say, before I sit down, we will later be giving a list of additional reading if you're interested. Everybody, I think, has been given already a copy of Roger Daniel's book. There are others which are worth reading, Rideout's commentary. There's a chapter 2 publication, House of God. There are many others which we'll be displaying at a later date, God willing.